Well, thank you all for being here tonight. It is a real precious joy in my life to be able to be here for a couple of reasons. And one is because of the preaching of the Word of God in this church. If you were in service this morning, you heard one of the finest messages that God ever put together through a preacher, a man of God, in your pastor this morning. What a blessing it is. I'll soon be 70 years of age, and what a blessing it is to look back over life and see people who come through your life, folks that you watch grow up, and your pastor is one of them. If God ever leads me to South Florida, I will apply for membership in this church because I want a pastor who preaches with all of his heart like that. Thank you this morning. I told him personally and privately how good that was today. What a preacher of the gospel. What a man of God in this place. I really am delighted to be here. I almost was not able to make it. My wife's father, who preached the gospel for 43 years. Woo, he would appreciate that. He would. Is near death. And cancer, and he just had all kinds of problems, a stroke and different things in his life. And just pray that God will take him. His wife died in January, and I'm just grateful. It looks like I'm going to get back tomorrow, and just a day or two, they're telling us. But thank you for allowing me to come. We're obviously here tonight for Reuben and Mandy, and what a blessing. And Pastor told me I had 20 minutes. We'll see how we do. I'm watching the clock. I appreciate that clock. I have one just like it. And I understand all of that. But Reuben and Mandy, when I first went to Shelby Township there in Shelby Township, Michigan, it's a suburb of Detroit, about 30 miles northeast. I remember going there. The church was in transition from our old church in Roseville out to Shelby Township, where we built a new church. And they were meeting in the college locally there, and Mandy's parents were there. And Don Carball was a great encouragement to me. We just got it together. And come to find out after we came there to be the pastor of the church that Mandy was engaged to be married to Reuben. And Reuben, I was noticing your hairline's a little lighter than it was 20 years ago. I think your dad's doing better than you are. Amen. But anyway, it's really a privilege, because this is how that worked out. Premarital counseling happened between trips from Bob Jones to home, because they weren't there locally at that time. And so we kind of piecemealed all of this together. And then lo and behold, he tells me I have to have a translator for the wedding. And I had never done that. I'd been on the mission field and preached that way. But to do the wedding, and it was a wonderful experience, and it was a really special time. And I just want to thank God tonight for both the Nunez family and the Carball family, for those two right there. What a blessing. And your pastor is right. Our lives go way back yonder. In my mind, as I stand here tonight, goes back 42 years ago, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan. His father and I, together as graduates that year, were ordained at the Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's a special, special moment in a young man's life as he is heading out into the gospel ministry to preach the Word of God. And, you know, you have all of these magnificent thoughts and things in your mind, how you're going to win everybody to Christ, and you're going to be the next Billy Sunday or the next Bob Jones, and it doesn't happen. And you have to just, Warren Wiersbe said, you just have to preach, pray, and plug away. And that's exactly what I see in that young man's life right over there. And he's done exactly that, and it's been a blessing to my heart and to my soul. And I remember that night going down front in front of 1,500 people, and we all got down upon our knees, and your pastor was probably there because you were just a little boy then, 42 years ago. How old were you, brother?
I was 3 years old.
He was 3 years old, probably in the nursery. And good place for you, right, brother? And over on this side of the church, all of the preacher boys came, and we all got down upon our knees, and it was always the deal, who's going to pray? Who's going to do the praying tonight? And Dr. Malone would always call upon someone to pray. And I got down on my knees, and I was just in euphoria spiritually. And I remember these two hands on my shoulders. And I remember Dr. Malone saying, "We're going to ask Dr. Charles Keene to pray." And that was my pastor. And the next thing I know, he was praying over me. And my heart was rejoicing at what God was doing at that moment in my life. And that's where Pastor Reuben is this evening. It is a most joyous, wonderful experience to have the preachers and the deacons lay their hands upon you and pray over you and ask God's blessing on your life and your heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a special time. It's a special moment in a young man's life. We get married, and that's a special moment. And we have children, and that is a special moment. But as our pastor, our preacher tonight, shared with us about being set apart with the gospel of Jesus Christ to preach the word of God, the unsearchable riches of the Bible to the world, wherever God may take us. What a blessing it is as a man of God to experience the presence of God as people lay their hands upon you in a situation, in a circumstance like this tonight. I'll soon be 70 years of age. These four decades have come and gone, oh, so quickly. And as I look around in my own ministry, and we have a 27-year-old youth pastor, and we have a 51-year-old man who does the music in our church. He's a wonderful man. He's been with me 19 years. And we have a young man as our executive pastor who will be taking my place in January, who's 40 years of age. And we have these younger men in the church who are coming up in the ranks. And I feel like I'm a part of a passing parade. And I'm fading away. And thank God this morning there are young men coming in behind us. Because my life will soon be over. I will preach the message for a great, greatly used man of God ordained in the gospel ministry named Dr. Bob Rhodes. I will preach it soon, and I will greatly, happily be able to stand and say, not only was he a preacher of the gospel, but he was my father-in-law. And I knew him up close, and I saw him, and I heard him pray. And I watched him, and I've never figured this one out. I've watched him read his New Testament with the Greek New Testament, Brother Tom. I don't understand that. I don't even want to go there. And yet, I called him the professor because of who he was and what he knew. Our preacher tonight has shared with you what it means to be ordained into the gospel ministry this evening. And it was wonderful, and I'm so glad that you did that for us. And I just want to take us to the Word of God, Brother Reuben, and this is for you. I just want to take us to some scripture that I feel is really important. There are 41 different verses of scripture from Old Testament to the New that talks about ordained, being ordained or ordained. And I picked some that I felt were really wonderful and just right for tonight. And I pray tonight that it'll be a blessing to you. And here's my first verse of scripture. It comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1 and verse number 5. And I want you to hear this. And I want your mom and your dad to hear this as well, because this is important. Jeremiah said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." You think about that, church. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, listen to it, I sanctified thee. And then he said, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. And tonight we are ordaining a young man to be a prophet, a preacher of the word of God to the nations. It's a wonderful verse. Before you were ever born, God knew you. Before you ever came from your mother's womb, God knew you. And before you ever came from the womb, God knew that we would be here tonight. What a blessing. What a blessing. He has sanctified you, the scripture says. He has ordained you. He has set you apart for this very moment. And never, never forget that, Brother Reuben, that God has called you and brought you to this place. I love the scripture in the book of Psalms. It says that God knows our frame. God knows everything about us. God knew us before we were born. God knew about us when we were born. God knows about us tonight, and God will know us tomorrow and in the future. What a wonderful thought. Now, my Bible took me to the book of Mark, chapter number 3. And in the Gospels, it's a wonderful thing to see how our Lord called. I just preached through the disciples on Wednesday nights this summer, and it was a wonderful Bible study, a wonderful time to see all the different things that Jesus did with the disciples. But in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, we hear these words. And he, meaning Jesus, ordained 12. He ordained 12. He selected 12. He brought 12 into his fold to teach and to preach and to work with. And one of those was Judas Iscariot. I've never understood that. I don't even claim to know that I understand anything close to that. I just know that he ordained 12 and Judas was one of them, that they should be with him and that he might send them forth, the scripture says, to preach. Now think on that just a little while. What a wonderful privilege it is to take a Bible like ours and to open up the scripture and to preach the word of God and help folks to understand that God loves them. He loved them so much he died for them. He not only died for them, he resurrected for them. He not only resurrected for them, but he ascended back to heaven at his rightful spot at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And not only that, he's coming back to get us. What a wonderful thought tonight. Our present day world needs a lot of things, but nothing more than the unadulterated preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. That's what our world needs tonight. Think must how it must have been to be one of these apostles, one of these disciples, chosen, ordained by Jesus. And he says, now, guys, and you have to read the whole context of the scripture to understand. He gave them power to go out and to preach and to teach and to do the work of Christ. And they came back to him. It's a wonderful thing. And they share with him what they did and how it went and all those wonderful things. Oh, what a privilege it is tonight. What a privilege it is tonight to preach his book. Thank you for letting me come here tonight. Thank you for giving me the privilege to stand here tonight. What a wonderful blessing it is to take the word of God and to preach it to others. John 15 and verse 16 is another verse that comes to my mind that God used and I thought was well fitting for tonight. It says, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." Do you see that? "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," Jesus said, "and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Reuben, you have been chosen by God to do exactly that. You have been ordained by God. We are ordaining. We are laying our hands on you tonight for that purpose. Reuben, you not only are being ordained to do that, but you have the power in Jesus' name to ask the Father to help you. You have the power tonight, the privilege tonight. When life is hard and when it is difficult and you don't know which way to turn, when you don't know where to go, when you don't know how to make that decision, you have the ability, you have the power to get on your face before God and say, "Father, in Jesus' holy, wonderful name, I need your help tonight." What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. Never underestimate the power of praying in Jesus' name. Then you go over to the book of Acts, and Jesus says, he's been crucified, and I'm smiling. It sounds terrible, I suppose. Might look bad. But Jesus has been crucified, and he's resurrected from the grave. And he's taught his men for the last 40 days, and he says to them now, out on the Mount of Olives there, and he takes them all out there, and he says, now I want you to go back, and I want you to go back to that upper room, and I want you to pray that you will be endued with power from on high, it says in the book of Luke, chapter 24. And Jesus said, I want you to go back into town, and I want you to wait right there, and I want you to pray until you are endued with power from on high. And he bodily ascends up out of their sight, the Bible says. And he goes back to heaven and he takes his rightful place at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. And by the way, that's where he is tonight. And he's superintending this meeting tonight. And he knows we're meeting this evening. And he knows we're ordaining tonight. And he knows that we are here in this place tonight. What a wonderful thought. And what I want you to see about this passage of scripture in verse 22. Peter preached beginning from the baptism of John, meaning the baptism of John the Baptist, and I just preached about Jesus' baptism 2 weeks ago. He said, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, the scripture says, one must be ordained to be a witness with us of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And tonight, Brother Reuben, be a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I remind us this evening as a body of Christ in this place that we are to teach and to preach and be a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you run up against a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon? Amen. Where's your God tonight? I can tell you according to the scripture that mine resurrected. And by the way, there were at least 500 witnesses of that. There was some teaching for 40 days and the graves opened up and the veil in the temple was rent in half. And the power of the Holy Spirit of God fell on people for the first time. What a wonderful, powerful thought tonight. And we get to preach that, Brother Reuben. We get to preach that. And then over in chapter 10, I just love it when Peter goes to Cornelius and he gives the gospel to the Gentiles for the first time. Now, we don't understand that because we're Gentiles. Now, we just don't understand that. And Peter didn't understand it when God said, it's all right, go ahead. He said, but I've never eaten meat. I haven't done that. You just go do what I'm asking you to do. And there'll be times in your ministry where you'll need to be asked to do some things you don't quite have all the answers. But Peter goes there. And listen to how he talks to these folks. This is Peter, who is a Jew, who obviously denied Christ, and who obviously made all of that right. But listen to Peter. He is speaking to the Gentiles for the first time, and he said these words, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it was he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And in this same conversation, and I preached about this not too awfully long ago, this is what he said, this Jewish preacher, this Peter, this disciple of Christ, this is what he said. He, meaning Jesus, commanded us to preach unto the people. Now listen to it. Even you Gentiles. Now you talk about a little bit of bigotry. Hey, even you Gentiles, aren't you glad Peter preached? Amen. Man, that he was ordained of God who would be the judge of those alive and dead. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 14, Paul said, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Really listen to me now, Brother Reuben. Mandy, maybe you'd better really listen too, okay? I wrote this down, and I want to make sure I share this with you, okay? Reuben, Mandy, it is very likely that you are never going to become wealthy being a pastor and a pastor's wife. Now, Reuben started out with Chrysler. And Reuben was ready to work his way up, and it was a sad day when Reuben and Mandy left us in warm and sunny 3 feet of snow to move to Fort Myers for Chrysler. Man. Boy, I come down here in February and I just think to myself,
What'd I do wrong, Jesus? Just point it out. I'll get it right. I'm ready.
Especially when you're on Lake Okeechobee. Amen. Your preacher's quite a fisherman. But here's what I found out. When I was fresh out of Bible college, I went to a little town called Chillicothe, Ohio. Didn't know a person. My home church sent me there and provided for me for a while. But the time came when things got rather thin financially. And God helped me to understand from the scriptures. One morning, I was very discouraged. And I was struggling over finances and trying to figure out how to make life work. And this is what he said to me in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Then Peter began to say unto him, to Jesus. He said, Lo, we've left all and we have followed thee, Jesus. And Jesus answered and he said, Verily I say to you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, but that he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. And he goes on here and he says, but he shall receive 100-fold houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children's and lands with persecution and in the world to come eternal life. Amen. I've had the privilege 42 years to pastor 4 churches, the last one for 22, 10, 6, and 5. And it's a wonderful thing because in September I'll go preach the 50th anniversary of Lafayette Bible Baptist Church in St. Louis, Missouri that I pastored. And there are people there that I led to Christ. There are people there that went to Midwestern Baptist College and graduated and went back there and they're still serving there. And as I go to these churches, 2 years ago I went to the church that I founded 42 years ago and I preached the 40th anniversary. And I became so close with the young man who's pastor of the church. He is now the executive pastor of our church, and he will take my place in January. Do you see what I'm trying to point out? Just last week, one of the finest Sunday school superintendents I ever had went home to be with Jesus. And there's person after person after person. You don't like make a lot of money at it. But your needs are always provided, and sometimes you wonder how they're going to be provided, and sometimes you say to God, why have you been so good to me? This is all in the hands of God. And what I want us to understand tonight, that in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, we are his workmanship, and we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And Reuben, tonight, I believe with all of my heart, you are very uniquely gifted. You are very uniquely gifted to serve God at this point of time in your life, in this place, with this pastor. And church, listen to a guy who's been around just a little while. We need men like this to take over. We need men like this to carry it forward. We need men like that who preached us the word of God this morning with such fervor. I don't have half the strength he or he has. I don't even want it anymore. Amen? And finally, it says in Hebrews 5 and verse 1, for every high priest, let's call it New Testament pastor tonight, okay? Taken from among men, and that's what we're doing, is ordained for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices. Mm. And tonight, this young man has gifts and talents and abilities. I tried to get him back to Michigan. He wouldn't come. I sat in a restaurant. It was a stupid mistake. I sat in a restaurant in January with him. And I said, Reuben, why don't you come on back? It's cold up here, Pastor. He's got all that Dominican blood in him. He's too thin. That's his problem. And it's okay. Ezekiel said this. You know the verse. I sought for a man among them. That should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. that I should not destroy it. But I found none, Ezekiel said. There's a phrase, stand in the gap. I grew up on a farm, southern Ohio, about 50 miles east of Cincinnati, 108 acres. My grandparents lived there. I lived most of my early days there. We had 108 acres. We raised, we milked 12 cows in the morning by hand, and we milked 12 cows in the evening by hand, and we did it 7 days a week. We did it in the summer, and we did it in the winter. We had hogs, and we had chickens, and we raised tobacco. Don't tell anybody, amen. That tobacco brought us $1,200 every fall. And would you believe the farm payment was $336? But my granddad would say to me as we'd go to the field to work, he'd say, now, Howard, make sure you close the gap. And the gap was a gate, you know, 6, 8, 10 feet. And it would swing open. It was bigger than me. And you have to swing that thing back. He'd bring the tractor through, and we'd be going to the field to work, to do whatever. We even had a big old black horse named Charlie. And we plowed the tobacco with old Charlie. Make sure you close the gap. Ezekiel said, I look for a man to stand in the gap. And one day, the cows got loose. Howard, did you forget to close the gap? And I said, oh my goodness, I did. And we were chasing cows for 2 hours. And my grandfather was upset with me. And so here's what I want you to understand. As Reuben, you will need to stand in the gap for people. God knows we need men who will stand in the gap. Whatever you do, make sure you stand in the gap. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he is good. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world. We heard about it this morning. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then finally he says, stand therefore. Stand. I mean, Reuben, stand. Determine tonight, stand, no matter what. Because there will be days when it's just you and God. Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, woman, shall we have good from God and then reject him when it's bad? We're going to stand for God. Stand therefore, Reuben, having your loins girt about with the truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. Would you allow me to pray, please? Our Father, thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for this holy hour that's been anointed by God. Thank you for these who come together to rejoice with our brother and his dear wife. Thank you, Father, that he has served faithfully in this place. Father, that he has learned and he has prayed and he has studied and he has practiced. And we're grateful tonight that you've selected him by this church to be ordained tonight. And we're grateful for who he is and for what he represents. Thank you for the little part that I have had in their lives. Father, you know that this young couple are like children to me, and we love them with all of our heart. We rejoice with them in all that happens. And so we pray tonight your most precious blessings upon them. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reuben, with that great message, I would ask you personally, if you would please, to stand at this time. I'd ask you to grab that microphone. I found something. I have a series of 5 questions I would like to ask you personally in front of the church all five questions, I'm expecting from you the same answer. And that same answer would be in English, por favor. I am so persuaded. You can do that?
Yes, I am so persuaded.
I found a little book. A little book goes all the way back to the 1500s. It's called The Book of Common Prayer. This is a book where kind of is a set of direction for preachers. And I was reading about how they ordained men back then. And they asked five questions to a man that I want you to answer publicly in front of your church. Question number one. Are you persuaded that you be truly called to this ministration according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ and the order of this realm?
I am so persuaded.
Are you persuaded that the Holy Scriptures contain sufficiently all doctrine required of necessity for eternal salvation through faith in Jesus Christ?
Amen. I am so persuaded.
Will you then faithfully exercise yourself in the same Holy Scriptures and call upon God by prayer for the true understanding of the same, so as you may be able by them to teach and exhort with wholesome doctrine and to withstand and convince the gainsayers?
I am so persuaded.
Are you ready with all faithful diligence to banish and drive away all erroneous and strange doctrine contrary to God's word, and both privately and openly to call upon and encourage others to do the same?
Absolutely. I am so persuaded.
Will you deny all ungodliness and worldly lust? Will you live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, that you may show yourself in all things an example of good works unto others, that the adversary may be ashamed, having nothing to say against you?
With the Lord's help, I am so persuaded.
Amen. Based upon your profession of persuasion, and based upon the evidence of sound doctrine found by the presbytery, and based upon the evidence, the sound evidence of the call of God upon your pastor and your church family, I hereby do commend you and recommend you and publicly set you apart unto the ordained work of the gospel of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I would ask that you and Mandy would come at this time, and I would ask you to be seated here. And I would ask the deacons of our church, and I would ask any ordained pastor who is a member of our church, if you would please come to the pulpit at this time and come to the platform at this time. And I want us to follow the biblical example and lay hands on Reuben and Mandy and pray with them, understanding the call of God upon his life, recognizing that divine call. This is illustrated by us laying our hands and then sending them preach the gospel. Pastor, are you sending Reuben out of our church? Absolutely not. But I am sending him to being set apart to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, preacher, you preached a great message and a challenge to us. Place your hands, if you would, men, please. Church family, would you stand and join me in prayer? Heavenly Father God, comes to my mind in this moment, it's that wonderful little chorus that says, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. God, we reckon your wonderful presence in our church tonight. How beautiful it is to see you working in our midst. The Bible says the feet of them that preach the gospel are beautiful feet. You have reached within our body and touched a man, touched his wife and his family. You've placed upon him your divine call. This is not a call that Pastor Hunter could manipulate. This is not a call that his mom or his dad could manipulate. This is not a call that a church could manipulate. This is a divine call by the risen Lord of the church. We reckon this divine call. So, Father, tonight, publicly, as the pastor, and with the deacons, and with the people of our church, we formally set aside Brother Ruben Nunez to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You said in your Bible that it was not good that man should be alone. You said that you would provide a help meet for men. Father, you provided a gem when you brought to Reuben Mandy. The divine call does not place on her as a preacher of the gospel, but it does place upon her as the wife of a pastor. God, the Bible speaks specifically about this responsibility to her. And we know her to have humbled herself and to gladly have received this call. And God, it will pass down to their children as they too are affected by this call. And so delighted are we to see the good hand of God upon the children of Reuben and Mandy Nunez. They sit behind me, God, with the hands of godly men placed upon them. They sit behind me with men who hold the office of deacon and those that have been ordained as pastors. And this laying on of the hands is biblical and illustrative of the call of God in our recognition. These are mere mortal hands, but they are hands filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so, Father, we do formally lift them to the throne of grace. And we do formally as a church dedicate them to this full-time ministry. Protect them, God. Protect Reuben from evil. Protect them in their marriage. Protect them in their family. Protect them when it comes to sound doctrine. Protect them from the gates of hell. Pastor, God, no one knows what the pastor goes through when you battle and you stand in the gap. Well, what a delight it is to place our feet squarely on the strong arm of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Families are represented tonight. Friends are here. Lord, may they too have reckoned this call. May they too understand their support and their encouragement as they rejoice in what God has done. I am so excited, Lord, to see what you're going to do through Pastor Reuben Nunez. What a joy. That rings like music in my ear. To God be the glory for the great things he hath done. For it's in Jesus' name we make our prayer, and the people of God said, amen. I think we should celebrate this by a wonderful round of applause. Stay right there. Hand me that. Hand me that, brother. Certificate of ordination signed by... Man, these people need a penmanship class. Pastor Hunter, Matt, Melody, Michael, Cassis, Ricardo, John, Randy Williams, Jacob Gruya, Rochelle Vialba, Robert Hamlin, Hal Leggett, Hank Henson, and two of our deacons were absent, but they will sign this certificate of ordination. God bless you, and we love you very much. All right. Yeah. Say something.
I wasn't supposed to speak, but I can't come to this moment without thanking my pastor Casey, my pastor Hunter, the pastors that have an involvement and investment in our lives. I do thank my wife, and I do thank our church family. You guys have embraced us. You guys have received us. A lot of you have changed all of our kids' diapers, except for one. She came without diapers. But I thank you all for giving me the giving us the patience, the encouragement, the privilege to serve you, the privilege to grow with you, the privilege to encourage you. And I praise the Lord for that. So thank you all for those that are visiting. I thank my dad, my mom, friends from a long time, my aunt, neighbors that have come. I do praise the Lord for just the privilege it is to stand before you and to come to this position. Like Pastor said, we're sticking around. And but we're ready for whatever the Lord has in store, and we praise the Lord for his enabling in our lives. Thank you very much.
Just head over there for the fellowship. All right, we have some fellowship going on in the hall. We have finger foods there. We're going to sing a song to go out. Brother Reuben and Mandy, I'm going to ask you to take your family, the extended family, and while we're singing, go ahead and make your way into the fellowship hall. That way, if somebody wants to see you, they got to go in there, not out the back door. To God be the glory for the great things he hath done. Lift your voice. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight.